I've asked John Wilson, who is no stranger to our airwaves here, to join us today. John is the president of his own company, which is J.W. Wilson & Associates. You can go to his website. He is one of the foremost recognized economists in this country, and he takes his time to be with you. And, John, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here with you, Paul.
It is always a pleasure, sir. And as I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking of, from your vantage point, which would be interesting to my audience, is you start out this new year, the first week here as we go through. And what is the foremost on your mind? What is of most interest to you in terms of your outlook for the year 2016?
Well, looking forward, the major issues on the table right now tend to be international rather than domestic. Most folks that have been involved in the economy and studied the economy think that we have turned the corner here domestically and that the U.S. economy is, other than the manufacturing sector, is in pretty good shape. Unemployment is down substantially. Inflation is still very low. The problems that we're seeing are the fact that Europe has not recovered from the recession. China has got a lot of instability associated with it because of fears that the Chinese growth experience over the past few years is coming to an end. You got obviously international issues in the Middle East, and Korea's testing nuclear weapons. So we're not happy about any of those things, and all of those things affect the stock market. But I think everybody feels that domestically we're better off today than we were a year ago. That may change as things move forward. We'll see. I think that what everybody's looking at now as far as the domestic economy is concerned is how profits are reported over the next quarter. We've just had a very slight increase by the Fed in interest rates. That's expected to continue. The anticipation is that there will be four more increases in interest rates, all of them quite low. We're talking about a quarter of a percent each. So if that all happens, we'll still have Fed interest rates at 1 or 1.25% at the end of the year, which is very low, and should not have much of a drag effect on the domestic economy. So things are certainly in a better perspective than they were a year ago. But there's a lot of concern about what's going on internationally, both with respect to China and Europe.
And John, are we more likely to be impacted by what happens worldwide than we have ever been before? I mean, is this something new? Is this so-called global economy really a global economy that can have some negative impact on what happens in the United States?
Oh yes, certainly in some sectors more than others. In natural resources and manufacturing, we are very much an international economy. The service industries, of course, are still pretty much a domestic economy issue, and we're looking very good there. Mm-hmm. But as far as globalization is concerned, yes, that has occurred, and we are now a participant in a world economy rather than a domestic economy for many major worldwide industries.
Are you concerned about what kind of control we don't have over what happens worldwide that could have an impact on our domestic situations?
I don't think that there's any anticipation that we would have great control over what happens worldwide. We certainly have less control over worldwide economic issues than we do over domestic economic issues, but that's been recognized and expected for a long time. So I don't have concern about the control issue. I think that most major economies in the world, including the European economies as well as the Chinese economy, have pretty much the same view of things and of what makes things tick and what needs to be done in order to make them better as we do. So the control issue, I don't think, is the is a problem. There's always a lack of control.
My guest is John Wilson, economist. When we come back, we'll talk about that control. We'll talk about the rising interest rates. We'll talk about a number of things that has a direct impact on your pocketbook. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Barry. My guest is economist John Wilson from the J.W. Wilson & Associates firm that he heads. And we're talking about your economy. We're talking about your new year and the and where we are and where we're starting here. And one of the things that you mentioned, John, was the fact that the Fed has finally raised interest rates. And my question to you is, what is to come of this? Was it good? Should they have done it? Should they continue to raise it? And what impact will it have, if any, on inflation in this country?
Well, there's some debate on that. I think the bottom line is that the interest rate increase was so small that it's not it in and of itself is not likely to have much impact on anything, and the increases that are anticipated for the rest of the year at a 0.25% a shot are likewise going to be small and not have a dramatic impact. What's newsworthy about this interest rate increase is that it's been so long. We've gone 9 years now without an interest rate increase.
Wow.
For this is the first one in 9 years, and so that in itself is newsworthy, but it's a reflection of the perception that our economy has recovered mm-hmm. from the 2008 recession, and moving forward, we would expect some inflation that we have not had in recent years. So it's an anticipation of the future. I think that's the news, as opposed to any large impact that an interest rate increase this small is likely to have.
John, what about the other factor that we touch base with, and that is the price of oil?
Price of oil is a big, big deal. The price of oil is, in my opinion, the major reason that the stock markets have not done well in recent months. You've got the talking heads, Jim Cramer, for example, talking about the possibility of oil not holding in the 30s, going mm-hmm. down into the 20s per barrel, mm-hmm. which would be, which in my view would be really incredible. Now, of course, there's a fix to this, and that is the Saudis imposing restrictions on their own output. So they are in some control of what is likely to happen to oil prices going forward, and they're so low now, largely because OPEC, led by Saudi Arabia, has kept production up to the point where we have a large glut or overhang of oil supply in the market. That could change, and it certainly will. Whether it'll change within the next few months or not is another question, and most people don't think so. Most people think oil is going to stay low for a while.
Is that good for us, John, or not? Is that good? I mean, I pay $1.89 at the pump.
Sure. It's good in terms of keeping the cost of driving low, if that's the objective.
But I hear the but here, and let me take a break here again. I'm sorry. Let me take another break, and I'll come back, and I'll find out what the but here is about oil prices remaining low. This is Home and Family Finance. My guest, John Wilson. We'll be right back with more. My guest is John Wilson. He is an economist, a noted economist in this country, and he's giving you benefit of his reflections as we begin this new year. And we stopped, John, at the issue of oil. I'm delighted that I pay a $1.89 for a gallon of gas this morning at the pump. So why shouldn't it last, and why shouldn't I be happy about that?
Well, the reason you shouldn't be entirely happy about it is because it has a large impact on other things that are economically important to you. It has an impact on the stock market. I'm certain that if oil were to rebound back to, let's not talk about $100, which it was a little over a year ago, but just back into the 50 to 60 range, which it was a few months ago, you'd see a large impact on the stock market. Your personal wealth, if you have any investments, would go up substantially. And that's because of the not only of the impact of the price of oil on the industries that are dependent upon oil and produce oil and produce oil services.
Mm-hmm.
It's also because it would increase buying power in the economy and generally be good for consumer activity. It may even help the Fed achieve the 2% inflation target that they're aimed at, which is not likely to be achieved with $25 or $30 oil.
Right. I think oil this morning somewhere in the $38-$36 range. But that brings up another issue, John, which is which bothers me a whole lot. I remember when the airlines had to increase their prices because they said the price of oil, their gasoline was going crazy, and it was all over the place. And for the last year, the prices have come tumbling down. Now all not from 100, but all the way down to 36 bucks and maybe lower. And yet this week, Delta Airlines increases its prices by $3 per ticket or $6 round trip. That seems like a gouge. I mean, how can they look consumers in the eye and say, you know, we're going to raise this $6 even though we're paying not even half what we paid for their biggest expense?
Yeah. That, of course, is true. The airlines are doing well. They're making a lot of money now because oil prices are down and their revenues have not gone down accordingly. The problem that you're focusing on, of course, is one of monopoly power. We used to have an antitrust law in this country that prevented the creation of monopolies. Well, that is no longer operative. We now have monopolies in most of our major industries, or at least oligopolies, where the market is controlled by only a few firms. That's certainly true on most airline routes. Airlines have a lot of market power, but that's true of other sectors of the economy as well. You've moved away from what could truly be characterized as a competitive market economy. You haven't got enough players in most of the sectors to do that, and oil is one of them.
Does that worry you?
We talked about the OPEC group, but there's also the major international oil companies.
Right.
They're much bigger and much more concentrated than they were in past decades.
Should we be concerned about that, or is that just what happens in this kind of an economy?
It's what has happened. It's now history. Would I prefer that there hadn't been a merger between Exxon and Mobil? Sure. Mm-hmm. Would I have preferred that Standard Oil of Ohio not acquire Amoco and all the other oil companies that they've acquired? Sure. I'd prefer BP to be that way. But that's not where we are. We've got a new world order in major industries that involves a lot more market power than we've ever experienced in the past, and that's just something that we're going to have to deal with. The Europeans are interestingly dealing with that fairly well. They've got a fairly vigorous antitrust enforcement scheme, much more effective than ours. Our antitrust enforcement pretty much fell apart after Bush won, and through the last three presidents, it's been kind of non-existent.
30 seconds, John. Tell me about this. Is good year, bad year? Are you? How do you feel? Are you enthusiastic?
I haven't got great enthusiasm, and I haven't got great fear. I think that the fear comes about because of things that we don't know and can't control, like political instability. As far as looking forward, I anticipate that it'll be a decent year, not a great one.
Thank you, John. We'll be right back with more. John Wilson here, and we'll see you in just a minute, folks.